We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back at quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. This segment brought to you by TailgateWine.com. This is Ask Greg. These are your Penn State football and recruiting questions. He's Greg Pickle. He's going to be doing the answering. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. I will be doing the reading. I'll be doing the blue collar work of this segment. TailgateWine.com will be giving away a bottle of wine to whoever asked the best question, as determined by Gregory over here. And if you're not familiar with TailgateWine.com, I suggest you get familiar with them and check out the blue and white wine gift box. They have all kinds of wine and barbecue packages with sauces and rubs as well. Check it all out, TailgateWine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. Greg, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's see. Steve from Chicago. Mr. Greg. I like the Mr. Greg. There was an article last week that said Penn State could take 5 to 6 more players in the 2020 class, but they may be able to take more based on some counting against the prior year. What is the rule regarding counting against prior years? And keep up the great work.
Yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't – I think we talked about this a little bit earlier in the week, but it doesn't seem like the roles have changed to the best of my knowledge. I'll have to do some digging on that. But as far as I know, you're good to go to count kids back as long as you don't go over that 85.
And they enroll in January.
Correct. Right. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You can't do the June ones back as far as I know. So, yeah, we'll dive into that. It's a good question. A lot of people wondering. We'll dive in and try and get some actual answers on that as opposed to just assuming that the rules are what they are. But, yeah, my understanding is that you're good to do that as long as you don't go over the 85-man limit. So Penn State should be in good situation to do that.
And it's an interesting point for a couple reasons now. Number one, Penn State's got 20 commitments, and here we are just really starting the month of July. There's a lot of time to go. There's still a bunch of targets on the board. There are guys that they would love to take that they don't want to run out of room. So, and the other part of it is there were so many transfers, and the roster is in a situation where there might be more transfers next year. There's probably going to be a pretty good bit of cushion against that 85 total scholarship limit. So that's what you're looking for, 25 max per recruiting cycle, 85 max at any given time, total players on scholarship. So what Penn State will have is probably the ability to stay under or at 85 and be able to go over 25 in the 2020 class. If they are able to do that, they can take maybe 28 and backlog three of them to the 2019 class, which only had 22 commitments in all. That'll be an interesting thing to watch as we get down the stretch and see how many guys Penn State could take. They could use the influx of talent on the roster. We'll say that. Corey from Longmont, Colorado. Sounds gorgeous. What happens if our recruiting class fills up and Julian Fleming wants to come to Penn State? Does someone get tossed? If so, how would that impact future recruits? Assuming this has happened before, who was taken and who was released? Was it a good call? Historical examples, I don't know if we have a good record of that, but.
I mean, the only guy I can ever remember, well, I guess it would depend which side, the story is, to remember Troy Vincent Jr. was a part of Penn State's class at one point and all of a sudden he wasn't. You know, that's the only example I can think of a guy having a spot in the class and then losing it. So if Julian Fleming wants to come, I don't think anybody's getting run off, because I think you knew you were going to take him no matter what, which means even if you didn't land his commitment, that spot's still there. It's always going to be there. And you're going to recruit, you're going to recruit with the idea in mind that a flip is always possible, but you still need to fill out your class. So Penn State's been able to do that with Jaden Dotton and Norval Black, maybe looking at another receiver, Parker Washington, of course, then the boat as well. So I think they're in good shape, and they know that there's always spots left for one or two guys that are so big names that you could take them no matter what, and you let the rest figure it out. So I don't see them bouncing anybody out of this class. It's not only a real bad look, but it sets a bad precedent too, because kids are going to say, well, you preach family and when I committed, I became part of this family, and now you're kicking me out of it because you found a better family member. So it really puts you in a bad spot. It's tough to do.
If Penn State is not prepared to take a commitment from a guy, they will not take the commitment from the guy at that point in time. There can be an offer, but there's always a difference between a committable and a non-committable offer, which there's always, you know, you can always debate the term commitment in the first place. When it's a verbal commitment, it's not really much of a commitment at all. Recruiting is just weird. I mean, at the end of the day, recruiting is just weird.
Right.
And, but yeah, I don't think Penn State would do that to a guy in the class. You see this come about more frequently when there are coaching transitions happening. A coach takes over a recruiting class, sees a guy like, I mean, Jim Harbaugh went through it. There's just no way to make it a good look, but it's a delicate conversation. You know, coaches have to have these types of conversations with guys who have been on campus for 3 or 4 years and whose role isn't going to grow, and trying to have that conversation and see them, how to help them see the writing on the wall that nothing's going to change this season.
Right.
You might be better off leaving the program. You know, that's a delicate conversation too. Let's see. Morgan from Arlington, Virginia. Greg, what's it going to take for Penn State to win the Big Ten this year? I'm thinking this is Morgan's recipe. Sean Clifford, Justin Shorter, and 3 offensive linemen are all Big Ten selections. Brisker or Wade play like Marcus Allen, but with 3 to 5 interceptions. That's a big ask.
Yeah.
And our defense leads the country in sacks again. I'd say the most realistic part of that is Penn State leading the nation in sacks.
Definitely. I mean, I think to win the Big Ten, they're going to have to do something they've never done before, and that's have multiple victories on the road against some of the best teams in the conference. They're going to have to win 2 out of 3 against Iowa, Ohio State, and Michigan State on the road if they want to be in the Big Ten title contention, because, you know, in that scenario, that win, you know, 2 of those 3 and then a win home against Michigan, it's going to have you with 1 loss, and you're going to need, obviously, you know, some other games to go your way to make the Big Ten East or be the Big Ten East champ, make the conference title game. But yeah, I think to me, they're going to have to do something they've never done before. All those stats and factors that were listed will obviously play a role in whether that's obtainable or not, but they can't get a lead on the road like they have in the years past and then let the game slip away in the final 8 to 10 minutes.
It is quite possible for all those things to happen, and you still don't beat Ohio State. I mean, like, I think you can just really simplify this and say, can you beat Ohio State and can you beat Michigan? It's great if all these guys are all Big Ten picks, but they can be all Big Ten picks and Penn State doesn't show up in those games. Or,
right.
Or frankly, Michigan or Ohio State could just be that much better. You know, mathematically, you have to win at least one of those games, probably both of those games, to win the Big Ten. I wouldn't put money on that as of yet. We mentioned the different, you know, the ceiling for this Penn State team. And I think it's an interesting ceiling. I think the defense has a chance to be nationally elite, not just lead the country in sacks, but be a real true force,
right?
Stopping the run and stopping the pass. I don't think you could have said that last year.
Right.
So if that's the case, then who knows what can happen? But I wouldn't put money on it. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg. We are talking and taking your Penn State football and recruiting questions, a segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com. Next question, Rob from Columbus, Georgia, an interesting one here. Looking at the schedule, how do you think the 2 bye weeks and the relatively easier games around Ohio State affect the final win-loss record?
I mean, I don't think it hurts, but keep in mind that pretty much every team, I assume, has 2 bye weeks this year, so everyone's going to get the same benefit of that scheduling quirk, which I believe is tied to the Labor Day and when that falls this year. But, you know, obviously that helps. I think that the timing of it is good for Penn State this year, but I mean, it's hard. It's hard to quantify it, really. I mean, there's been years in the past, Dustin, where we thought Penn State's bye was either perfectly placed or poorly placed, and it really doesn't seem to make that whole heck of a lot of difference. So, I mean, obviously you want the chance to get you want the chance to rest up a little bit late in the season and get some things in order, fix some stuff that maybe you don't get to during a normal game week. But there's also the argument in the other side, which is that, you know, sometimes you don't want a week off when it comes because you're playing so well and you want to keep that momentum rolling down the track. So, I mean, I think they're positioned fine where they are this year, but I'm not sure it'll make a huge difference one way or the other.
Next question. This one must have come in before the last 2 commitments, but the point still stands. Bill from Philadelphia. Of the current 18 commits, 13 are considered 3-star players. That number is now 20 commits and 15 3-star players, according to the 247 composite. I'm assuming that's what Bill's looking at. Out of that group, how many will be 4 stars plus by the end of the evaluation period? Additionally, who will make the largest leap in their respective ratings? We talked about this to some extent on Monday's show.
Correct. But, yeah, I mean, To me, I think the biggest jump, it's either going to come from Amin Vanover or Parker Washington, would be my opinion at this point. So as we sit here and talk about this, Penn State has 4 stars out of 20, according to the 247 Sports composite. I say that number ends with 10, whether it's, you know, 5 more guys commit and they're 4 stars, or a mixture of new commits and ratings bomb. So I'm going to go with 10 out of, you know, 26 or 4 stars. That could be, it's probably a little bit on the low end, but, you know, 10, 13, something in that ballpark. It'll be about an even, you know, ratio when all is said and done.
The interesting thing here, so at least 2 guys that I know of, Joseph Johnson and Parker Washington, are 4-star players on Rivals and 3 stars in the composite. Those are 2 guys to watch. Amin Vanover, I just don't think it's possible for him to remain a 3-star all this time. At least one of those offensive linemen, I suspect, will move up, because there's some underratedness to Olu Fashanu, who's 6'5", 320. RJ Adams, who had a nice little run of SEC offers a couple weeks ago, which his commitment will be interesting to watch, I think, with that in mind. Golden Achumba was just out at the opening. You know, if he did some things that turn people's heads out there, there's a chance. But I think of the group of these 15, not just in additional commitments, I think you're going to see 4 or so pick up 4 stars before it's all said and done. And I think the target board sets up that you know, if they've got 5+ scholarships left to give, I think there's going to be 3 or 4 more 4-stars in the class. So I think it's going to be, you know, maybe about 60-40, like,
yeah,
you know, 12, 13, 4-star commitments to maybe 12, 3-star commitments, something like that. All right, so let me just ask one more question. We had about a minute and a half. Let's see, Steve from Huntington Valley. Who on the roster is most likely to win this year's Late Bloomer Award? A 4th or 5th year guy who makes an unexpected impact after finally cracking the rotation late in his career. We touched on some of this in the award segment, but yeah, I'm curious your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one guy that jumps out to me, and you know, you could go a number of different directions here, but a late bloomer who could really make a step forward, I think Cam Brown could be in that conversation. I don't know if it's fair to call him a late bloomer, but I think he's going to grow into one of the top players on Penn State defense, which is sort of, you know, I don't think he's within that conversation before. You know, we waited a long time for Lamont Wade to make an impact. This could be the year he finally does that after, you know, coming into Penn State's football program as a very highly regarded recruit. And I think on the other side of the ball, you know, you look at some of the guys on offense, this could be the coming out party for Will Fries, who's been very good, but, you know, a starter, but never really had that job all to himself. This could be the year for that.
All right, who asked the best question of the week, in your opinion?
I like that one at the end there. Let's go with Steve.
Steve from Huntington Valley. All right, you will be. We'll reach out to you to get you a bottle of Tailgate Wine from TailgateWine.com, our friends with an awesome selection of wines and barbecue packages. Congratulations to Steve. Thank you, everybody else, for your questions. Thanks for tuning in this week. If you didn't already know, download the Keystone Sports app. You can listen to everything we do at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.